selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. You know, okay, it's actually just so funny because what I love about Shopify is no matter how huge and massive you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control. Yes, daddy. And take your business to the next level because we're business women. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub. That's shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase. Shopify.com/bookclub.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Because there's nothing like a weekend pause with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Celebrity Book Club.
I thought a fun, super just fun way to loosen us up was just for us all, this could be a cold open or maybe it will be so bad and we'll get put in the trash, but for us to just all sing Scar Tissue and just see what happens.
That's a really, yeah, that's a fun idea. Just like so.
Y'all expect me to harmonize on this too?
I mean, I'm a horrible singer, so I think let's just see.
That's just that
wish. That wish you saw.
So now, Mr. Know-it-all. Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Cause
with the friends you share.
The friends you share. There's no lonely you. And
I'll kiss you.
It's lonely you.
So that against the wall.
In a push-up bra.
That makes sense because there's a lot of tits in this book.
There are so many tits in this book.
Who's that knocking at the door? It's all your friends, you filthy whore. Your husband's gone and we've got books and a bottle of wine to kill.
It's Hollywood.
It's books.
It's gossip.
I'm shook.
It's memoirs.
It's martinis.
It's Studio 54.
It's
Celebrity Book Club.
Come read it while it's hot.
Celebrity Book Club.
Tell your secrets, we won't talk.
Celebrity Book Club.
No boys are allowed.
Celebrity Book Club. Club.
Buzz me in, I brought the Cuervo.
Hey, best friend.
What's up, you badass bitch?
What's up, dude? How you doing right now?
I don't know, man. I'm coming off a 6-week high of just doing a ton of heroin and coke and speed with some pretty awesome girlfriends in some pretty cool motels. So, yeah, I'm feeling a little crazy.
Yeah, I actually just tried heroin for the first time, and I had heroin sex for the first time. And, man, I will tell you, I had sex for 12 hours and didn't even come till the 11th hour.
No, that's so fucking cool when you just don't come for 10 hours. That's one of my favorite parts about mixing drugs and sex. Of course, we are being crazy drug addicts and making fun of addiction, which is a serious issue because we read a phenomenal memoir this week.
By a phenomenal rock and roll poet, rapper, artist, fucking spirit, Anthony Kiedis, lead singer of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
And his book, Scar Tissue. And so, of course, when you do a rock book by an iconic rocker, you think,
We need to get a rock and roll chick to come on the pod.
You know what I mean? Someone who knows what it means to be in the East Village.
Yeah. Maybe the Lower East Village. Some may say Alphabet City.
The Lower East Village. No, I fucking love the Lower East Village.
Someone who rocks awesome vintage t-shirts.
Yeah, I don't know. Someone whose favorite letters of the alphabet are C, B, G, B. Anyone?
And just getting an also all-around hilarious chick.
Hell yes. Yes. Because this podcast isn't just about rock music. It's about comedy.
Yeah. You probably think of us as like just like ultimate rockers who are always like snorting coke and like shooting coke and fucking.
But we also fucking love to gag each other up.
And do improv.
And there's nothing more fucking rock and roll than improv. And that's why we're so excited to have all-around badass downtown writer, videographer, choreographer, chick actress.
Impresario. Impressionistista.
Impressionista. Lauren Servideo!
Also, fellow Italian-American.
I was just going to say, another Italian-American from upstate New York who is not Kelly Catrone.
Wow.
That's me.
Feeling a little left out.
Feeling bullied.
Well, I'm actually not from upstate New York.
Well, your mother
But my mother now lives in upstate New York. So anyway,
Didn't she grew up in like Delhi or whatever?
She did grow up in upstate New York. You know what? But let's not get into details. Basically, two Paisans are on the pod right now. Thank you so much, Lauren, for coming on this little dirty, dirty rock and roll podcast.
Our nasty little ramshackle rock and roll pod.
Thank you for having me. And I'm sorry, I really pushed for this. Realizing that it was almost 500 pages, but not fully realizing that it was almost 500 pages. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Was this the longest one you guys have read or?
Well.
Funny enough, you're actually kind of keeping us going in this kind of like hardcore, like you're like this like rock and roll mentor-less because we read a few weeks ago Ulysses S. Grant's personal memoirs, which also clocked in around 550 pages.
Yes, this is actually shorter than Grant's. And I will say this was a quicker read than Grant's.
Yes.
Grant's is a slog emotionally and physically because it's mostly about troop movements in the 1860s. And this is like
more of a page turner.
This is more of a page turner and just like there's no tits in Grant's book.
Well, I was going to say, there's no salacious details about anyone. Like, who did he hang out with? Was there even anyone from the Roaring? I don't even know when he was alive. Like, I found out that Bret Easton Ellis was alive. I thought he died. So, like, don't ask me who's alive and who's dead.
I mean, there were parts in the Grant book where I was just being like, wait, so who does he know that we know? Like, where does
yeah,
that overlap?
Like, what are our mutuals on Friendster?
But yeah, this cutest book obviously is a podge turner and there's a lot of juice.
And I feel like it is. Thank you for suggesting this because it is an iconic rock memoir. And I randomly feel like we haven't done a male rock star yet, even though that seems crazy to say.
Well, we've done Steve Aoki.
But is he a rock star or just a mega awesome DJ?
Okay, well, the DJ erasure and the sort of erasure of the musicality that's required to be a DJ is really apparent in that statement. But I guess I'll let it slide.
Okay, yeah. I am sorry to our DJs. Okay, Lauren, are you a red hot? Are you a pepper?
Am I a pepper? Am I a pepper peeper? Not hugely, but at the beginning of the summer, my boyfriend Emerson was playing them a bunch. We both work from home, or I'm like a layabout from home, and he actually works from home. And he was saying he just started playing them a bunch, and I was like, "What's going on with this? Like, why this? Why now?" And he was like, "This is going to be a Red Hot Chili Pepper summer." And no sooner did he say that, did I go to my grandfather's house, and I had a relative who lived with him for a bit who is a former addict who had like a bunch of Mackenzie Phillips. It was like every user memoir. Do you know what I mean? Like every former addict memoir on her bookshelf. And then this one stuck out to me and I was like, maybe this is the Chili Pepper summer, and I was gonna find an excuse to read it anyway. And then
as we say in the pod, that is an example of spirit being present because you were introduced to the concept of the RHCP summer, and then all of a sudden you see this book
came
on a bookshelf.
To you.
walked into your life.
Yep. It's sort of like in the book where later he talks about addicts are always interested in seeing all of these like different, you know, they have spirits come to them. It's like an animal will show up when you need it most.
Oh,
sort
yeah.
of thing.
I mean, that's which happened in Hunter Biden's book, which is another addict memoir we read. But an owl comes to him as he's driving to this like rehab center in Arizona.
I do. Now I'm just, a theory is coming to me about animals and addicts. Is it also this thing because a lot of rehabs are in the desert and then you just do see like lizards and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a big nature overlap.
Because I know there's a ton of rehab. I mean, Florida has a huge rehab program where people just who are at their wit's end, of course, like ship their relatives off there. It's this like factory of addicts and rehabilitated people down there. And Florida's filled with like lizards and mangoes and like all that shit. So I get it. Yeah, I think you're on
something,
Lily.
Live mangoes, gators.
Not to gators. Jump to literally the last sentence of the book, but since we're on the subject of animals, I'll just read it. And I was like, this is such an amazing sentence to end the book.
Okay, spoiler alert.
Well, it's not. Okay, sorry. Do you mind? Anyway, he's sober and he's coming to a new realization that you can't like just ignore your wants for drugs and just kind of more live in wanting the addiction. And then he says, I just look over at my dog and remember that Buster's never seen me high.
Boom. Mic drop.
Listener, those are the last words of the 500-page memoir.
465. Yeah.
I was like, one, Buster.
Yeah.
Are we just going with that basic of a dog name?
But it was after Buster Keaton, one of his favorite comedians.
Okay, old-timey.
Yeah, a little
old-timey. Call me in. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, he's older than I realized. One
yes.
thing that this book was kind of surprising to me was it was a lot of it was taking place in, like, the 80s. And I was
yeah.
like, oh, I guess they really got their start a little bit earlier than I realized. Because, so I will just say right off the bat, my relationship with the Red Hot Chili Peppers had a very intimate turn in high school. I listened to Californication a lot. I bought it on CD at Newbery Comics. And I would listen to it on my computer in ninth grade while I secretly masturbated. And
what?
To me, and this was back before there was porn videos. Porn was just photos.
So Californication was your porn, the audio.
The audio was porn. And I would look at just like photo, these like galleries. It would be like a 30 image gallery of just like two Dutch guys. And I would like go through all the pictures while listening to like Other Side or Scar Tissue. And I would put on this album because I guess the album was to me was so like masculine that I was like, it almost counteracted the faggotry of looking at gay porn. I was like, oh, it's not, I don't have to feel as like guilty about looking at gay porn if I'm listening to this like badass rock music.
I was shocked there were little to no mentions of any sort of like opposite sex interaction. I guess, I mean, we know pretty famously outside of this
yes.
book that he's like a womanizer, but I was a little curious because, you know, they'd go out on the stage with their dicks and their
dicks
socks.
Out.
Sorry, I was like trying to figure, I was like, do I go like anatomically, their penises inside of their socks?
Yeah.
But I just figured there'd appendages. Be something. And there wasn't anything, at
there,
least not
there
mentioned.
Was
no, wait, there's the one kiss.
The kiss with Dave Navarro in that video. And he was just and Dave was like, yeah, I'm going to kiss you. And he's like, yeah, man, okay, sure. And to my surprise, it was a total open mouth kiss. And I didn't care either way. He's like so weird about it. And then he's like, and then the record execs didn't like it. So that's what I knew, that it was awesome in punk rock and we had to keep it in the video.
Right, and they like fucking fought Warner Brothers on it. And it's like, but only in this way of like, right, being... punk.
And he was just like, yeah, we lost some frat boy friends who called us a faggot. And like, we kind of talked about it and we're like, maybe felt regret about it. But ultimately, like, we went forward. And you were kind of like, it sounds like it was kind of a big deal to have this kiss.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe you were a little nervous. And
I also thought was interesting was every other book we've read that takes place in the 80s, like... there's a lot of just like people's friends dying of AIDS. And it's just like, there's
no
definitely
mention.
No, they're not having any friends dying of AIDS. So I just don't think that they were hanging out with gay people very much. which is totally fine. Not everyone has to be hanging out with everyone all the time.
There are some bi chicks. Some bi chicks in the book.
I know that Ion Sky reveal where he like had the sexual encounter later with the girl who was in the relationship. Wait, let me get this right, right?
No, you say it.
Yeah. I'm scared, but just that it was like the ex-girlfriend of his ex-girlfriend was the next, one of his later pursuits.
Kim,
way to bury the fucking lead, dude. Like, oh my God, we've all been dying to know. I would have loved to have known that so much earlier that she was bi or just at least curious.
Oh, I know. It's like, let's go back 200 pages and be like, because so he dates Ion Sky, who's Donovan's daughter, and she's 16 when they start dating.
That's going to be, is that going to be the meat and potatoes
girl
in this fucking
in this book? Is 14.
Dude, I have this dog-eared to shit, and 90% of these flags right here are like actual literal red flags of like let's just say this is a very pre-2017 book.
Very, yeah.
Yes. This is an extremely 2003 book. They're like,
it starts out and they're like, and he is like 11 and just like having so much sex and doing so much drugs and like his childhood is completely insane. But then at a certain point you're like, aren't you in your 20s now? And he's like, man, like this girl was 15, but wow, she was really mature. And you're like, wait a minute.
He's like, her tits were so fucking fluffy. Or like,
it really is. Almost all the women in the book are just like
Lauren, will you give us a fire rapid rundown of all your red flags?
Like every single thing in here? Or no, I'm like every single thing.
Yeah, some of them, you know.
Let me skip that one. That was how his stepmom. One was how his stepmom made him go to church 5 times a day or a week or something that I thought was insane. 5 times during the week and 3 times on Sunday.
If you're going 3 times on Sunday, what are you just leaving for lunch and then going back?
Right, we have like an 8:30, a 9:30, and then a midnight.
I mean, his virginity loss story is completely insane. How he just asks, he passes his dad a note when they're at like the Rainbow Room on Hollywood Boulevard. He's 11 years old. He passes and like is doing coke with his dad every night. Passes dad a note saying, I'm really into Kimberly. Can I try having sex with her? And the dad is like, okay, son. And then they go back to their house and like puts him in a room with Kimberly. And he was like, and my dad was a little too close, like looking back on it.
Oh, yeah. He's like, he's a little too. It's like,
I think
so
the dad
he was
in the
absolutely
room.
Absolutely watching. Yeah. I got the vibe from that page.
There's a lot missing from this, including the fact that pretty early on, he's like, yeah, Sonny and Cher were like surrogate parents to me. Sort of like ubiquitous experience of every kid that grows up in LA that there's like, and think about it too, because he's so old at the time. That would have been like, if, I don't know, Lady Gaga was babysitting you in 2009. Do you know what I mean? Past their prime. They were on the Sonny and Cher show. Like, hello.
It was
there's
prime Sonny
else.
And Cher. And he's like, yeah. So he was like, so at this time, I was hanging out at Sonny's mansion.
Sonny's. And he's like, so Cher and also Sonny are already broken up. Sonny is with his dad's ex at this point.
And when then
and you're
the
like,
scene
that
where Cher is, he's just watching sleeping. Cher like, change in her bathroom and just being like, damn, she had this slinky, slanky body and I was watching her and then she crawled into the bed with me and she was nude. But and it was an erotic experience. But
he's like, but Cher and I didn't hook up when I was 8.
I feel bad for Cher though because so much of the, like, I feel like there was like a rumor that when this book got published that it was Cher that slept with him, that took his virginity. Because people have no like reading comprehension. There's just so much and so many fucked up instances in this book that it got turned into Cher sleeping with him, which is not true at all. That did not happen. I mean, physically they were like in the same room, but like she did not take his virginity.
And I got the vibe that Cher was in maybe a silk PJ, not fully nude.
Don't you think that Cher is so sleeps nude?
And it's just so like, darling, this is how a woman sleeps.
Yeah.
Like yeah, maybe especially back then, she was. I feel like she was so au naturel in the 70s. And
yeah.
You think she was trying to make a point about just like, oh, she was so German public in her sexuality? Just like, men and children can be naked in a park together. It is not sexual.
Okay, also his dad, he's like, my dad had such an amazing manicured Coke nail. But then I was like, dad, why is your other fingernail so short? And he was like, so it's ready to go inside the ladies.
And he was
and
like,
it's like his Coke nail, his fingering.
His pussy finger and then his Coke finger. I mean, that did make me think about the fact that so cheesy. Like, you can totally tell if a gay hasn't been topping very much because then his nails are long.
Well, that's also very like a classic like 90s gaydar, like how to tell if a woman's a lesbian,
right?
Like, check out her fingernails.
But I think it's more, I guess I'm thinking more in a top bottom way, or I'm just like, you can have long fingernails and like just not be fingering but still be into chicks and bi.
Right, you can be Ione Skye and like Kim and
right, and they're just being so like they're just like their hands are always just like up when they're having sex, like they're not
like those two. Like
I don't know, honestly, the Ione. I'm gonna say it. I think Ione Skye and what's her name, I think they had some wild bi sex.
Yeah.
At least I was thinking about that.
I'm
that
sure girl you on were.
Girl action. Okay, another celeb moment. Can we talk about him and Sinead?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So in Sinead's book, so this is like such a our podcast crossover. So we read Sinead's book, and she says she doesn't remember.
Yeah, she doesn't remember anything.
I was just going to say, I bet she doesn't remember any of this at all.
I mean, she also did fully have just like
a mental breakdown.
She didn't actually have what's it called, electric shock therapy, but like
I get the vibe that what
she also was hit by a train. And
yeah, I feel like Anthony does have a pretty good memory for chicks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she got hit by her head got clipped by a train when she was like 9, and she thinks she's always maybe had brain damage from that, and it's like really weird.
Oh my god.
But he has a pretty, like, specific story that's also not really disparaging to anyone, so I'm kind of just like...
I do believe his not to believe men, but yeah, I'm guessing...
Well, there's
I'm,
nothing in it that's very just, like, unbelievable. It's just like...
Yeah, it like, kind of felt like those party stories. Yeah, he was like, we hung out a few times. She wanted nothing to do with me, really. Like, she really... It didn't seem like anything happened, but they drove around a few times, and then she was never interested, and then he was all butthurt,
and
maybe,
they did,
because...
And they did kiss?
I think they kissed, like, made out once, and then he was
and
like...
And he wrote her that letter at a show once, and she was like... And she was like, I kept it in my kitchen drawer. I don't know. Okay, I lost the Irish accent.
I kept it in my kitchen drawer.
Yeah. And he's like, damn, you kept it in your drawer? She's like, a letter like that you don't throw away.
I put it in my Lucky Charms box.
Because the letter was just like, you're amazing, and like, hey, I'm obsessed with you.
Well, and also it like corroborates, is that the right word? Because in
fuck
her,
yes.
Hell yeah, in her
SAT
book,
boots.
She's like, oh yeah, I fucked Peter Gabriel, and I was like amazing friends with Daniel Day-Lewis, and he mentions both those people with her. So.
Right, and she had taken Daniel Day-Lewis the Oscars instead of him, and then she like popped out of a limo with Peter Gabriel, and it gave him this weird kind of like fake, and they both like fake smiled at each other, and he said it was really sad.
Yeah, and awkward.
That sounds so realistic.
Yeah, him just being like long hair and like being like, what's up, Sinead? And she's like, okay.
Hi. I'm actually with this different long hair gentleman.
And Peter Gabriel is so like cheesy, I think of. I don't know. It's like, I actually would think Sinead would want to hook up with Anthony Kiedis more than Peter Gabriel, but maybe, guess not.
I think it was just I don't, a what else? Show. Now I'm curious about her memoir because I loved that piece on her that was in like the New York Times
it's
or whatever. I mean,
completely insane.
It's completely insane. Highly wreck. Yeah.
Highly wreck.
Hell yeah.
It's really wild. I mean, she is also like such a punk badass, and she was becoming famous at the same time that they were. And she was also just like, fuck corporations and like, fuck the industry. But she was more, I would say, like, true to her fuck the industry ethos than they are.
Yeah.
They're still being a little bit more like, wait, we want the deal, fuck yeah, like let's make this money and like do a bunch of drugs and like
yeah,
fuck a bunch of groupies.
Where did they go
and,
to like the North Pole with like Michelob Light or whatever?
Yeah.
And I get it. There's just sometimes
I mean,
to do
wouldn't
this
you?
Stuff. Yeah. The thing is, you could tell like they loved living lavishly. Like they jump from being these super poor like squatter kids that grew up with next to nothing, and then he didn't know what kind of you know, wood to import from Thailand for his custom, like, 36, 24, 36 fireplace dimensions. Yeah. You're like, you don't just, like, especially in the 90s, there's no internet. Like, you have to be really worldly. Like, you have to, I don't know.
You have to call a Thai Woodist.
Yeah,
you know,
like, have all these importers.
Dude, the Dalai Lama visit. This is the part toward the end of the book, I gotta say. Maybe you agree with me. The whole book, it is so clear that he lacks self-awareness, which, okay, I mean, he's a total rock star, but I mean, it's just, like, laughable. The way he just talks about women, at some point he's like, yeah, it sucked. I was giving my mom, like, the hardest time coming home for the 15th time to Michigan to go to rehab. And, you know, I'm sure that crushed her, but, you know, moms are resilient. Like, just, right. Like, yeah, like, just nothing. But then when he does the Dalai Lama trip, and it's like the Dalai Lama was waiting maybe for Anthony Kiedis to get there, was another thing that I was like, huh?
Dalai
do you know
Lama
the, do you know
like-
the part? You know the part.
Will you, I am, listen, yeah. I'm going to admit that yes. I don't exactly remember this Dalai Lama scene. I do remember the end being like, I feel as, in every memoir, there's a point where they start to get rich and famous, and you start to see them, like, notice a little bit less, like, what they're saying.
It always goes from, like, crazy childhood, and then it's, like, drug, sex, and then all of a sudden it's, like, and now we're spiritual, and now, like, you're shaking the hand with, like, your savior.
And he's being like, and I just wake up every day with so much gratitude and so much matcha. And you're just like, I guess, but like.
Right. It's like, now you're just like so Hawaii and just like, yeah, beyond like 800 matchas.
There's not as
yoga.
Many like details about people where I'm like, I feel like you're not really noticing stuff in your life anymore. And you're just being kind of out of it, not caring. Also, like when he starts, like the part where he was just like, at this time I was dating Sofia Coppola, and you're like, what?
Yeah, I was like, and he was like, glazed she was, over. The amount like, of times he's also like, she was my favorite girlfriend. And I'm like, didn't you say that about?
Did you just have a favorite girlfriend 2 seconds ago?
I thought that would have really hurt my feelings. He's someone who picks favorites. Like he'll be like, this was probably the most enlightening sexual experience I've ever had with a woman. This was my favorite girlfriend. She was probably the girlfriend I was like the best of friends with, and I was like, that would fucking hurt if I was that girl and I qualified for nothing. Like, if I put up with his misery and his bullshit for all that time, that, like, I wouldn't at least get a little, like, you know what? I appreciate
didn't
her
get
patience.
A superlative.
Didn't get like, the favorite.
Yeah, no fucking superlative. No nothing. Just thrown out on the street.
Could I read the part about the time he has sex with a fat chick?
Oh, wait. This part was so funny. Okay, wait. But
yes,
I do absolutely. Also want to hear the Dalai Lama part.
Yes.
But the fat
oh, wait,
girl
let's
one.
Let's finish Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
And then go back to fat girl.
And I got to say, the only reason why I probably remember it is because I had to quick finish this today. I will say I thought very cockily was like, yeah, this is a memoir. I'm going to like get through this in like 3 seconds. Because I do. Whenever it comes to the memoir, I just... Jessica Simpson's, girl, that was ours. Like when people would get the first
same.
Harry Potter
yeah.
books and I would, they just devour it. It was like Jessica's, I was done before I even, I felt like I didn't even crack
and
the
you know,
spine.
The writing in the Jessica Simpson book is like, it's
the
not.
The print is a little bit even bigger than this.
The print is large and.
It's bigger. It does. You know, I used to put like 3 spaces after a period to make an essay longer. In college, just me.
And then you're like, what if I, instead of double space, will they notice if I do it 2.3?
2.3, yeah.
Wait, can I ask you a crazy question? What was your major?
It was journalism, and then I minored in women's studies at SUNY freaking Albany because I really wanted to work in, like, women's magazines.
Oh, wow. For, like, Albany Women's Monthly?
Yeah.
You were like, absolutely. I need to go to the heart of publishing, which is Albany.
Yep. I was like, I want to be the Helen Gurney Brown of Albany. I think that's how you say it. The Cosmopolitan, like.
Wait, like you wanted to write for Cosmo or like Miss or like Bitch magazine? Well,
you wanted to be Kate Hudson in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, and you're, like, demanding to your editor. You're like, actually, I know I write about jewelry, but I want to write about Afghanistan.
Yes, and yes, like, yes, what? Yes. That's exactly what it was. It was around the time that, like, Rookie came to be. There was that Kinder whore renaissance, and it was really when Tumblr feminism
Kinder
took
whore.
Off. Yeah, it was, like, the true Tumblr feminism moment, and I was hugely, like, a voyeur of that, and that deeply influenced me. To pursue that.
Obsessed.
Did I do that? No. Did I literally even touch a keyboard as soon as I went, no. Do I have one byline? Okay. Absolutely not.
We're sending you a keyboard after, okay, just a standalone big keyboard after this pod.
Oh my God, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Just like Tom Hanks.
You're welcome on us.
Can I read something that I dog-haired or dog-eared?
Please.
I mean, sorry.
Dog-haired.
I just can't stop thinking about Buster. Page 158. One night I ran into this girl from Nebraska. It was ironic because Nebraska is the corn state and she had pubic hair that resembled the precise texture of corn silk.
Oh yeah. That stuck out. I remember
corn silk.
And he's like, I've seen a lot of pubic hair in my day, all sorts. But
and then next page. The next day we drove to Baton Rouge and of course she came with us. After we got off stage, she came up to me and said, I have something to tell you. My father's the chief of police and the entire state of Louisiana is looking for me because I've gone missing. Oh, and besides that, I'm only 14. Then the next sentence, I wasn't incredibly scared. 14? When was the last time either one of you talked to a 14-year-old?
I'm also like, you're publishing this book and being like, yeah, this 14-year-old had corn silky pussy, which is reminding me I have so much corn at home that I need to eat. And
girl,
it's,
you gotta get through that.
And I'm every day, I'm just
corn
like.
Corn season's almost wrapping up.
No, I know. And it's like my CSA, they keep on giving corn. They're trying to get rid of the corn. I'm like, how many husks am I eating today?
I couldn't believe he wasn't scared. I'm just like, if anyone's going to murder you, it's going to be the chief of police of Baton Rouge for fucking his underage daughter. Like, literally, if anyone would ever murder you, it's like, that is the person who is going to murder you.
But I think he got that confidence from his father, who was such a rebel rouser, and
a rebel rouser, yeah,
pedo himself,
dude, total ped. That cycle did not get broken here.
No, and it was just like, I'm sharing a 15-year-old with my 11-year-old son.
Classic. And then the dad, we know about how the dad like gets mad every time he asked his dad for one of his girlfriends after that. He was like, whoa.
Was actually a one-time thing.
Yeah, that was your birthday present, okay? like,
that's not happening again.
Can you guys imagine writing a note to your dad?
To be like, can I fuck your girlfriend?
Yeah.
It's got like backwards letters in it and shit. You know what I mean? Where it's like lemonade stand with a backwards S. Dad, can I fuck your girlfriend again? check yes here or check no here. Love Anthony.
What's fucked up is you should see Lily's handwriting because it still looks like that. Like age 34, she hasn't gone past 9. Like it's still really big, and she has like a really bad way of like figuring how many letters need to go on the line. So she's always running out of room by the end of the word.
Birthday cards are always like, to me, it's always that straight line and then full down.
I went to the shittiest public school ever, and it was like if you missed one day, shit like handwriting. You would be like there was nothing they could do to make up for it. Like I missed one day of fractions and I still can't figure that shit out.
They just never went back. Yep, you were like, I never got what a third is.
I still can't read an analog clock quickly. Missed that day. It's so unfortunate. It's so sad. So I'm with you on the handwriting thing. Like I get it.
That's fun, though. You know, your life has some mystery. You go, you're in London, you take a peek at Big Ben, you're like, I don't know what fucking time it is. I feel free.
I actually was just thinking about that the other day, and I was, wow, that's funny. I was just thinking about Big Ben this morning. I'll tell you why. I'm going overseas for, like, the first time, and I was thinking, like, they go on the 24-hour system. What do their clocks look like? I really hadn't thought about it. I'm revealing that here very publicly, but it was, like, an early morning thought. I was like, no, but Big Ben, no, that's like 12. There's two hands. Like, I really was like breaking that shit down. Like,
it's just a bigger circle.
Yeah,
like, it's really big. It's
just, that's why it's such a big clock. Well, okay, I'm with you. I was trying to make a resi at a restaurant the other day, and the time was in Army Europe time.
Sure.
And I was like, excuse me?
Who put your resi in military time?
Yeah, Google.
Damn.
Yeah, I should have gone to Open Table. And I was like, yeah, and I was like, I can't do this. So I closed the window and went to another site because I was like, I just can't do the math here.
No, leave it on military time and start asking for the veterans discount at places. I went to Eckhouse Lotto the other day and I asked the kid straight up, I said, do you guys have a military discount here?
Stop.
And he wasn't sure.
Celebrity Book Club.
This episode is sponsored by ZocDoc.
You're trying to find a cause for your symptoms.
Achy back, headache, runny nose, itchy eye, wart on my genitals.
So let me guess, you stumble down a TikTok rabbit hole full of questionable advice from so-called experts.
Suddenly I have cancer? No thank you.
There are better ways to get the answers you want and the care you deserve from trusted professionals and not random people on the internet. Though randoms, I love you, and my TikTok addiction, yeah, it stands.
But I'm sorry, Lily, you shouldn't be getting medical advice from some girl in her grandmother's basement in Toronto.
ZocDoc helps you find expert doctors and medical professionals that specialize in the care you need and deliver the type of experience you want.
That's right. Ditch the talk, get the doc. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun.
No more doctor roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to connect you to your favorite doctor you haven't met yet.
I love a trusted guide, like the time I climbed to Machu Picchu on the Inca Trail with a team of Sherpas. Millions of people use ZocDoc's free app to find and book a doctor in their neighborhood who is patient-reviewed and fits their needs and schedule just right. So find your Sherpa at ZocDoc.com. Go to ZocDoc.com/bookclub and download the ZocDoc app for free.
Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Slay. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/bookclub. ZocDoc.com/bookclub.
Ditch the talk.
I wonder, I mean, I have to say, Kiedis's taste, the only celeb he seemed to be attracted to was Sinead, unless there are others that, like, he fucked and, like, NDA stuff. They were like, no, you're not putting this in there.
I mean, he obviously, let's just say it, he's obviously a tits man. It's
yeah.
Just like the description of every girl in the book is like tits first.
Round tits.
She had these high, perky tits. Her tits walked into the room. She was banging everybody with her tits. She had these big, soft tits. Wait, were you going to read the part where he fucks
yeah,
the fat
wait,
girl?
Yeah, I still have it. Okay.
Okay, wait.
Let's do this. Okay. Sometimes I combine my passion for drugs and girls. We had just played in South Carolina and I was a little drunk, so I went straight into a coke hunt. The bartender at the club found me half a gram and I did it all too soon. So I was horny beyond control when this fat girl approached me. She was probably about 5'3 with an unusual chunky shape. She had fairly large girth and her tits were like enormous missiles that projected out from her elbows to the end of her hands. She was kind of pretty, though not the type of girl I'd ever hit on before. But she had her album and she told me I was her favorite poet of all time. And she gave me this letter that, among other things, suggested my dick was like a dolphin and her pussy was the ocean and I had to go for a swim in that ocean. She also wrote that she worshipped the ground I walked on and that she was my servant. She'd do anything for me. So then the sex, because she wasn't typically hot, it's like, we get it. She's
we get it.
Big.
She's fat.
He's like, did I tell you guys that she was fat and that I usually don't fuck fat chicks? There was no pressure. Whatever happened, happened. We went for it all night with her big, beautiful, pillowy breasts and her crazy extra wide body shop. I mean,
body shop.
Body shape. The whole time we were fucking, she was telling me this was her dream come true, but not in a way that made it unpleasant. Later, I found out that she had put 20 hits of acid in that letter to me, so I was able to barter it in the next town for some coke. Nice. Fat chick who gives you coke. And it's like he's writing this truly thinking he's complimenting her, being like, she wasn't typically hot, but she got to experience my dick.
She got to ride the cutest machine.
Yeah, this dolphin swam all around her oceans. Oh, Lauren? No.
Sorry, that kicked me off. Can you guys hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Weird.
You got too horny.
Yeah, the power went out. Literally, the lights above me started just like buzzing.
Okay, Lauren, now do share with us what you had.
Oh, share what I had queued up.
Yeah.
Page 253. She was a 5'9", 19-year-old blonde Nordic goddess with big blue eyes, a bowl-cut hairdo, and an unbelievable smile. Plus, she was wearing a t-shirt with a huge face of Woody Allen on it, and her tits were poking out of each of Woody's eyeglasses so that his eyes seemed to be going in different directions. I couldn't have put it in order with God for a more perfect physical specimen. The way this aged.
Tell me you're a pedophile without telling me you're a pedophile.
Dude, her tits were busting out of her Woody Allen tee.
Like,
like fucking God himself. Like the way Adam pulled Eve out of his own rib. Did this girl come into being? Oh my God. Dude, it was. I had to laugh because it's like, sure, there's more egregious offenses than, like, you know, participating. You know, he insists he had nothing to do with groupie culture, but it's like, clearly you did.
He obviously has this narrative about himself where he's just like, and dude, once we started getting famous, like, I didn't want to fuck the groupies because it was too easy.
It was about the like, chase for me, dude.
It's about the pursuit, you know what I mean? And you're just like, I don't know. It sounds just like you.
There's a different girl in each page.
There's a different girl on every page, and just like, you are absolutely just like fucking your fans.
Absolutely. I wish I could have been. I mean, I was what, like 11 or 12, I think, when the book came out. It actually came out on my 13th birthday, October 6, 2004.
Oh.
So I think that was another part of me.
Spirit.
Happy early birthday.
Spirit's calling out to me. Yeah, it was like, I wish I could have known how it was received back then. Like, I feel like I want to go into the New York Times archive or like the New Yorker Mag archive to see what the write-ups were of the time.
Let's get out the microfiche.
I'm sure people were just like, this is a really unflinching portrayal. I bet it was a lot of like super frank, you know,
I mean,
really
literally
bold
Time
about
magazine on front just being like raw, inspiring.
To me, this remains a staple of like Hudson booksellers in the airport. Like I feel like in my mind, and you know, I don't hang around. I have no musical bone in my body. I really don't hang around musicians, but like I do feel like this is like the most.
I thought you were about to say I don't hang around Hudson News that much.
No, that's where I work. Yeah, that's like actually, I work at the one in Penn.
Wow, that's actually so
cool. The one
cool.
in Penn Station. The Moynihan.
Oh, I was gonna say, do you work at the JFK? Okay, because the security clearance to work at the airport, even just for, you know,
I work at every single one at JFK, extensive. And I just have to run from terminal to terminal.
You open them and you close them, so you know you're an opener. If I went to New Hudson News is opening, you kind of get them
or
running.
Or like in the typical New York way, you guys have been talking to me this whole time, and then you find out that like my dad invented Hudson Booksellers. I'm like the heiress to the whole all that shit. I'm actually really rich. This closet is just like a of green screen.
Yeah, like my real name is Lauren Hudson.
Oh yeah, when I said I was from upstate, I meant Hudson, New York, because my father owns Hudson.
He owns the town.
He's the mayor of the whole town.
And I'm the little mayor.
I'm Little Miss Junior Mayor.
One, two, three, four. Give me a segment, give me a segment, give me a segment. What does she eat? How does she live?
What does she wear?
Okay. What does she eat?
What does she eat?
Okay.
I mean, I get the vibe that maybe he's like vegan.
He is vegetarian.
A vegetarian.
So one thing he mentions rarely randomly in the book several times is that he is a vegetarian.
because there was one time he was like, man, like, I've been a vegetarian for years, but like, I was so hungry after we had, like, we had been lost in the part where they're lost in Indonesia in like the jungle for like 2 weeks. Do you remember
doesn't
that?
He have like dengue fever? And the Sherpas are.
Oh, yeah. He had
and the Sherpas like bring them to the mountains. And they're like, honestly, we didn't know if we would survive. We kept looking for this river. And we were searching for over 10 days. And they finally find this river. And like somebody in a passing boat gave us a deer leg. And like, yeah, I'm a vegetarian, but I did tear into that deer. But yeah, so I feel like he is. I mean, he's so celebrity. He's been so rich for so long. So I just feel like he's so going to Squirrel, mm-hmm. which is like a famous L.A. bowlery, and he's getting like such a quinoa. Yep.
Remember the one that was over here?
Yeah. Yes. 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 In the East Village.
Rest in peace.
Is that still open?
No.
Yeah. Okay. That went the way of the dodo. I remember. I used to live in the East Village.
The Lower East Village.
I lived in the Lower East Village. I go to Angelica's. We get the most badass egg scrambled.
Huevos rancheros.
Huevos rancheros, no bacon.
Because he mentions like when he was like high all the time getting like junk food. And he was like, man, Flea knew I was high because he saw a bag of Cheetos. And I would never eat Cheetos if I wasn't high.
Yeah, he does have a... And this goes back to his toxic masculinity where he does really... Because he was like, yeah, I was on this crazy thing where I do a ton of coke and heroin. And I would also exercise a lot. Because, like, I'm still being healthy. So, like, he still is being, like, gym.
I mean,
and,
look
like,
at him. He's
well,
always...
Well, even the way he talked about been, like, the fat girl experience is always, like, for me, I'm like, hey, you know what? No one scrutinizes my body as much as I do. And then you're like, wait, actually, there might be one man in the world who does actually... notice and pick up on all of the things that I hate about my own body, and it's Anthony Kiedis. And he probably would be like, he probably would order for you. She's gonna have
yeah soup. Yeah, she's gonna have the fish soup.
And I could see him so true getting mad like at his girlfriend for like eating like a steak or just like something naughty, and he's like, why are you putting that shit in your
oh
body?
My god, yes. Yep. Oh my god. Ready, you read him to filth.
And he's like, I mean, hey, do what you want to do, so, but like, you know, it's full of hormones.
Yep, RGBH or whatever. I do wonder what the inside of his fridge looks like these days. It's definitely Erewhon.
If there's a ton of Erewhon, there's
supplements.
Like, yeah, there's powders. Ugh, I mean, it's
big shake in the morning. Yeah.
Like, there's so many beetroot powders and then spirulina powders. There's probably spirulina ice cubes in the freezer.
And I feel like there's a private chef who he imported, like, from somewhere and was, like, and she makes, like, amazing,
she makes
like,
dope-ass Thai. She makes dope-ass Vietnamese. She makes dope-ass Mexican.
Hella good curries.
It's probably the same woman that was giving them oxygen, the one that he mentions at the end that is, like, their lifeline, the band lifeline, who I feel so bad was, like, both their oxygen dispenser and then, like, their therapist. He kind of was like not thinking her for
enough.
Double
duty.
It was a little messy.
What does she wear?
What does she wear? I mean, shirtless. I feel like
I've never seen him in a shirt. I mean, he's kind of classic. Like, his style is very 70s mm-hmm. because he is like copying his dad in the 70s. And I think he never got out of that just like wearing like slightly belled jeans and like a button downs that like are also slightly belled. It's just like that kind of classic.
I get a sense
silhouette.
Of John Varvatos where it's like for the guy who doesn't need to be wearing, you know, those kind of like chic rags, like he can afford more. So they're like tailored rags in a way, if that makes mm-hmm. sense.
But it's like loosey tighty. Tidy Lucy Varvatos, like linen-y,
yes, like
darks.
Yeah, linen for sure.
Okay, yeah. I also feel like you're so on there because the John Varvatos store in New York is where
CBGB's
used to be.
Stop. Wait, that's so literally the anatomy of a sellout. Yeah. So it's like from CBGB's to John Varvatos.
Yep.
Right, and it's like really good black denim.
Good black denim. Do you know the watches has, like, that are like made of like a bunch of leather bands? Do you know what I mean? It has like the watch face in the middle.
Yeah.
Very cutest, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like funky
where there's
leather
like
bracelets.
Six little leather cords that then attach at the watch face. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's accurato, but he doesn't have any piercings.
I'm like,
it's way weird because you would think he'd be so plugged, but I guess it's just like that's always been too gay and emo for him. And he's maybe actually he's pre-plugs culture.
Yeah, plugs is
again,
like
he's older
way
than
later.
We think. Yeah, and I don't see any pierced ears in any.
And like piercing was just like straight up like a village people then, so
no earring. I feel like an earring maybe.
Again, I'm gonna say
wow.
No earring.
I'm pushing for no earring.
I feel like since he did the long hair, yeah, that was like enough.
That was his earring. That was his head accessory. You can
and
only
Jennifer's
do one or the other.
Feathers.
That's such a bad name, Jennifer's Feathers.
Hey, so we're Lily and the Jennifer's Feathers.
Lily and the Jennifer's Feathers.
Okay, we're starting that band tomorrow. Even though you don't have a musical bone in your body, you will now.
I'll be the one in the. I'll be Jennifer's like the. You know, feathers. Like the one fan in the audience that's like your friend that wants to be with us. Just like, oh, she's getting just into it so the rest so of us much. Can. Little do they know that I'm like a plant in the audience.
Just swaying for hours. Man, she was at our show since the fucking beginning.
Yeah.
No one was there.
And so we ended up giving her 7% of our record deal with Sony.
Dude, I would kill for even 0.01% of what probably their total earnings. They really have made so much money.
Yeah. Well, they made money when you could still make money off of like selling CDs.
Because
it was just like their CDs probably sold like 20 million copies and they literally made just like a gazillion dollars off of that.
$12.99 for that compact disc?
Boom.
It's kind of crazy. I never like Red Hot to me was always like, it's on the radio. I'm listening to it, liking it. But I was never like, I need to buy. I was never that much fan that I bought the CD. And there you were jerking off to it.
I needed my jerk off soundtrack.
I mean, it makes sense because they're very sexual band.
But you were like anti top 20 where I was pro top 20. So I would go to New York Comics anyway, and they would have the top 20 CDs of the week like in the racks. And so you could like go pick. And I was just like, oh, hello. Like number three. Hell yes.
That's like me at McNally
Number two,
Jackson.
American Idol compilation. Yes.
They have the top 20 and it's like the many husbands of Evelyn Hugo or whatever. And I'm like, I'll read that. Right. I don't give a fuck. Like, tell me what to read. Tell me what to do. I am like merely a cog in the machine. I'm with you though. I'm pro top 20. Always pop till I die.
Yeah. Okay. How does he live?
How does he live?
We know there's a lot of imported teak.
Yeah.
Is this like a metaphorical? How does he live? Or like the situation, like where he like lives very lavishly?
It's really about like specific decor choices that are happening. Just like
his bed, side table, lighting.
Is the bed high? Is the bed low?
That's actually a really good question. Like amenable to just like to having sex, lots of tantric, crazy sex. Is how
I feel like the bed is low.
I want to say the bed is low too, because like that feels more like easy to just like fuck standing up on, like where she's on her like doggy style on the bed, but you're standing on the floor or whatever. Like I imagine that's a popular one. Like, and I think a high bed is like there's just too much acrobatics involved, and he doesn't want to have a little stepway.
I feel like high bed. Is the only reason I have that is living in New York, and you have to store shit under there. Otherwise, low bed makes so much
sense. But some people are really insane and they are tasteless and they like think that their bed has to be such a like throne. And so they're very just
like princess
mattress pad box
shit.
Spring.
Sure.
Princess. It's very princess in the pea and it's got a four poster or whatever. So and like some like rich people in their big bedrooms have that as well, where everything is like everything's so oversized and like you need a ladder just to get onto the couch. Like that kind of vibe. I don't necessarily think he is that. I think he is. Definitely like.
No, I also have to go back to his days of always having a mattress on the floor wherever the fuck he was sleeping.
Mark McGrath has like, four post like, bed, just so you guys know.
Yeah. Well, hanging
four post bed. Dude, actually, talk about like battle of the two super LA musicians. They're probably the most two most LA rock stars I can think of off the top of my head. Honest to God,
most. LA-est bros.
What's funny is I bet...
Says the girl who says she knows nothing about LA. Your story's got holes in it, Lauren.
You talk about Mark McGrath like you know him, huh? Like you've maybe seen that four-post bed.
Hollywood and Vine? I don't know that intersection.
I have no idea. I'm just a little girl from Iowa. Yeah, I've just been lying this whole fucking time, gaslighting already.
Little girl from Albany. I took the bus here, Greyhound.
I didn't say I was from Albany. I didn't say I said that.
I feel like it's just Eastern vibes.
I am getting Eastern vibes.
Hell
so
yeah.
Which brings us to the question we ask every episode.
Is Buddha?
Wait, that's what you guys asked?
Because
I was going to say Buddha statue in the backyard. Like, period.
Absolutely. Yeah, on God. On my grandmother's grave.
He's got
a Buddha shrine in the backyard. I'm so excited that's where you were going with this, because I was thinking about it.
I'm so glad you're right there with us and the Buddha.
Okay, well, I think we nailed it.
I also want to say Buddha infinity pool.
Sure.
Yeah. Also, this is just one house. We already know that there's like six.
Yes, right. There's
we know
there's
a New Zealand house that like he hasn't been to in a while, but we'll see what's happening over there post-pandemic. Who are you in the book?
Wow, who are in the book?
Okay. Okay, I've been thinking about this since I read this passage. I think that I'm Flea's slutty Australian sister, Karen.
Yeah, you're Karen.
And I'm just like, Camarvin, help me study. I've got a beat test tomorrow. And then...
Okay, and I kind of think I'm Flea in this way where I'm telling people that my sister's really sexually active.
No, you're talking about your sister's sex life way too much.
I'm like, dude, you could have her if you want.
I'm the one mention of Chris Farley coming to visit him at Exodus Rehab.
Wait, that was so dark. He was like, it was really good to see Chris. I'm like, yeah.
Okay, but also you have amazing style. You have Jennifer vibes a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, Jennifer.
Yeah, Jennifer vibes. A little bit Jennifer.
I could see you building a structurally sound teepee that could last the winter.
The cold Michigan winter with the lake, with the lake effects. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. Fucking blowing
coming to the boyfriend's parents and they're like, oh, this girl's pretty funky.
Every girlfriend helped his parents. That to me seems like you do that one time for your wife. He brought every fucking girlfriend to his parents.
He crossed the line with you.
Yeah,
there.
We don't share this. We don't share a lot of the same values. I'll tell you that. But that's why I wanted to read this, because it felt like truly. I was like, I know we talked about doing the Victoria Gotti one, but I was like, it's a little too close to the sun. Like, I really can predict right. what's going to yeah. happen here. I was like, I don't know my ass or my elbow when it comes to rock star shit, LA living.
When it comes to someone who would bring every single significant other home to their right. parents every
yep,
summer.
Every summer. Every Christmas. He was a big Christmas guy.
And he's like, oh, my mom's the best. You're going to love her.
Yep. Or I would say I could be the mom who was just so, so patient.
Just patient Midwestern mom who, though, did go to LA and was funky for a while.
She was funky, and she was also, I don't know. I mean, I feel like, are you so her, though, when you're like marrying someone named Scott St. Yeah. Jude or whatever?
And you're like caring for him for his third triple bypass. Not saying you wouldn't care for someone through their third triple bypass, but
she
yeah.
seems like she was more like, I felt like her thing was like, and this was, you know, women of that era, whatever, it was like difficult, but it was like, she seems like she was always kind of like at the mercy of the kind of husband she was with. It was yeah. like she was having a rough time when she was with the messy husband. She was just like, then she needed to get this new guy, and then he was having a rough time, and then she had like the next husband, and it was like her kind of well-being seemed a little bit too tethered to a marriage, and I don't see that in you as much. Like, you're such a strong, independent woman.
No, that's true. You're right. No, it was a Chris Farley final answer. Just like...
Correct.
Chris Farley. And a little bit of... I want to know where Jennifer also is
that
now.
I was going to wait till after this. I was like, I can't spoil it. I really do want to look up all of them, including Claire, who, of course, yeah. got roasted the most because she was the most recent girlfriend. Do you know what I mean? Like, so the clarity...
Yeah, I could tell where he was being like, ugh.
Well, because
yeah,
he remembered
like active,
more.
Yeah, it was like an active annoyance where the rest of them were obviously more passive and more time to be like a little more generous
yeah, and more
with the
just
memory.
Like... And I do wonder where that Baton Rouge police chief is.
I wonder where the fat chick is.
Same. Yeah. I know. Can we get like an amendment to this? Seriously.
A very Pamela DeBars, like the girls of Scar Tissue.
Oh
book,
my God. Don't even. That is next on my freaking list.
Okay. Random House, take note for that.
I
pitch.
Need a little gratis copy, please. There's like 5 million copies of The Strand. Trust me. Every time I go to The Strand, I just check to make sure it's there. I've been doing that for years now.
It seems like you spend a lot of time in bookstores, which is fucking cool in old school New York. You're in very
New York,
Lower
McNally.
East Village.
Watch you find out I only go from to Mast Books because I can like only get art books and shit.
Yeah, huge art
hella,
books.
Yeah, hella curated like fucking like Mapplethorpe. Facebook.
Oh, just buying a used $300 Mapplethorpe book today. Then a little bit of, I'm going to buy some nuts and then a matcha and then go home.
Nuts?
Oh my God, Lauren, this has been epic.
This
Thank
has
you.
Been such a, yeah, such a thrill ride.
Thank you yeah. for having me. I do have a question though. What book are you guys reading next? Are you allowed to tell me or...
Oh,
you know, because
no,
it's we, you, we'll tell you.
I just
you.
Run straight to Dumois with his information.
Yeah. you're just like, I know what the book is for Slutty Book Club next week. Anon, please. People always say that it's always Anon. She's never posting like your phone number, so it's fine. Like Kate Hudson's not gonna find out that you said her assistant was nice. Like move on.
She smelled good. Yeah. No, but really, what are you reading? I'm dying.
We're doing epic lesbian soccer player Abby Wambach, US women's soccer team captain, and her small volume of a memoir
called Forward.
We've rendered Lauren speechless.
Because Forward is a position on a soccer team, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Pretty literal. So oh, yeah. Forward.
It probably wasn't ghostwritten. She probably wrote it herself.
Lauren, yeah, do you have any amazing things that we should plug for you? Like
Upcoming, epic things coming up? Sort of like three episode arcs on any CBS Plus series or anything like that.
I'm a Peacock girl. Easy fucking does it. No, I wish I had something. This is actually a call to anyone. I would love to work. I would love to act. I will do anything. I'm so desperate. I must have killed a casting director in my last life because they are allergic to me. Yeah. In this one.
You like poison someone at Metro Goldwyn Films.
Yep, that's I hop off to do my other podcast, like You Must Remember This. Isn't that the one where they talk about like old Hollywood shit?
Yes.
Yeah. I got to run because I gotta do that. Nope, nothing. This is actually the only highlight of my life. Was being on this, like this month. This was like
just,
the only thing
can
I'm
we
doing
just
this
say
month.
That you are on You Must Remember This?
Can we just lie and say, like, yeah, I'm going to start like seeding that in things. Yeah. Like, my episode's coming out soon, and then like a year goes by, and they're like, whatever happened to that?
Check out Lauren on the amazing podcast You Must Remember,
This episode 286.
She has so much knowledge about film and old Hollywood and flappers.
I bet you get at least one person just being like, oh, you were kick-ass on that podcast. You Must Remember This.
Yeah, that was me. It was great to talk to the host about the
topics.
You know, old Hays Code stuff.
The studio system. Can I also just piggyback to casting directors? Yeah. Just kind of for me, I would also like to be cast and
anything. Just to sort of backflip off that, I would also ask casting directors to sort of shoot their little spectacles in my direction and, you know, see if I'm right for something.
I wonder if they were ever like, no, we can tell they want to be indie darlings, so we're just going to leave them out of every conversation about casting ever.
Cool. No, I mean, it's like, clearly we all want to be in a movie that's called just like, thank you for not saying sorry. And it's like, okay, well, we'll see you at the premiere.
See you at the premiere.
Okay, I'll be wearing Gautier. Bye.
Best.
Celebrity Book Club is presented by Prologue Projects and HeadGum. The show is produced by Meg Murnane with editorial support from Leon Napak, Andrew Parsons, and Lynn Kaplan. Our production manager is Persia Berlin. Engineering by Ferris Monchi. Original theme song by Stephen Phillips. Horse. Artwork by Teddy Blanks, Chips, and Why. Follow us on Twitter at CBC The Pod. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app. Leave us a review and don't forget to tell your friends about us.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA. Way.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.